And this is a strange name, water. And I would like to talk to you about water. And would you turn your Bible with me in Isaiah 41? Isaiah 41, and we wanna read in a couple of place in the Bible. Isaiah 41. Just say amen when you're there. Isaiah 41, and we're gonna start reading on verse 17. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. All right. Isaiah 41, verse 17 to 20. It says, "The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched or dry with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow abundant heights and spring within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert a cedar and the acacia and the myrtle and the olive. I will set pines in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created." If you notice that, it says, "I will make rivers. I will turn the desert into a pool of water, and the parched ground, the dry ground into spring." And it says, "I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set pines in the wasteland and fir and the cypress together." So God is talking using Isaiah here to proclaim of what God is going to do to his children. Amen? Because there's no water. There's dryness. And jump to Isaiah 44, the same book, Isaiah 44, and we're going to read verse 1 to 4. Are you all there? Amen. Isaiah 44. Okay, we're going to wait for you until you say amen. Amen. Are you all there? Isaiah 44, that's the same book, just a few pages to your right. Okay, are you all there? Okay. Isaiah 44, verse 1 to 4, it says, "But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says, He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water," there you go again, "I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams of dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendant. They will spring up like grass in the meadow, like poplar trees by a flowing stream." There you go. There we see that again, that the Lord is promising, is saying to the children of Jacob, the tribe of Jacob, that he will pour out water on the thirsty land, that they will spring up like grass in the meadows. Okay? So let's jump to the New Testament this time. To John, the Gospel of John. Don't go to 1 John. The letter of John. First to Gospel of John. John chapter 7. Man, that's nice to hear those pages flipping and John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. Are you there? Okay, well, wait. Man. Amen. Chapter 7, John chapter 7. 7:37 to 39. Okay. Did you guys find it? Amen. 7:37. On the last day, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within." And John chapter 14. John chapter 14, the same book, just a few pages to your right. And we're going to read verse 16. Okay, John, not First John, but John, the Gospel of John. Are you all there? Just say amen if you're there. John chapter 14, verse 16. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." Did you see that? "The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you." Okay, there you go. We'll stop it there. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for these scriptures that you have given to us, Lord, today to study, Lord God. And we pray for your counsel, Lord, that reveal the truth to us this morning. And Lord, be with us, Lord, Holy Spirit. Come and open our minds and our thoughts that we may see you, Lord. We may see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. See, yesterday, Sister Rose and I were doing our walk. The 3-mile walk. Oh, the other day. And towards the end of our walk, just around the corner, and Sister Rose said, "You know what? My God, I'm really hungry." I said, "You really hungry?" He said, "I'm really, really hungry." And he said, Can you eat an elephant? Do you know somebody said that? "I'm really hungry that I can eat an elephant." That means they are really hungry. Right? Yeah? But how many of you here this morning that have been hungry and you feel like going to pass out? Anybody? Have you seen that commercial? The guy? And he said, and then, have you seen that, the guy? You see, that's not the face of angry guy, but it's the face of an hungry guy. Have you seen that? No? I don't know. Snickers or there's something. But I see it. But in America, there's nobody here in America that died because they were hungry. There's hungry nation or people like the Bangladesh and Ethiopia, but you know what? Maybe we are not that far away from us from America. And I one time encountered to read the book that this group of people were stranded in a remote area that nobody could be getting touched, and because of their hungry, and the guy died, and they eat the guy. Cannibalism. What's cannibalism? Yeah, they eat because they are hungry, and they were asked, the person who survived, when they finally found some help, he says, "How can you do such thing? How can you eat the person? Even it's you know them. It's your friend. How is that possible that you could eat a human flesh?" And he said, "You are thinking in your wildest dream. I have a thought that I would eat a human flesh, but you know, you don't understand hunger. You think you have been hungry. You don't understand when you live or to die. That means you eat or not eat. Too hungry." And this is true of the word thirst. Have you heard somebody says, "I'm so thirsty that I could drink a lake"? Have you heard that? "He's so thirsty that I could drink a lake." It's just like, "I'm so hungry that I could eat an elephant." That means they are really hungry. Right? And very few of us ever known the real thirst here in America. We get thirsty, but probably most of us never been, almost all of us, the edge thirst to live or to die. Now, the word water, in the Bible has a meaning which we cannot understand. See, in the Old Testament, the word water mean to people does not mean to us in America. See, the word water have a different meaning to some people that different that we have here in America. See, we live in 2015, which is water becoming like in the Old Testament. How many of you receive a letter from your city to reduce your water consumption? And even to water your plant in Redlands, there's a lot of front yard. They are converting to an artificial turf. Have you seen that? They use an artificial, you don't have to water, you don't have to cut it, you don't have to mow it. But there are some people that they cannot water their ground when everybody are sleeping. Because I'm one. I adjust my sprinkler at 3 o'clock in the morning that nobody is watching. So, but there's a point now that we are getting thirsty, that the water are being rationed. See, there's a tribe in the Middle East living in the desert, you know, Arab areas, Iraq, Afghanistan. When you see water, what that water means to them was not what it water means to us. See, water meant to them to live or to die because of their place. They live in a different place because their whole civilization based on one main thing. Because without water, you cannot live. You can live hungry, but without water, how many knows how many days you can survive without water? 40 days? 3 days? 4 days? How many? 4 days? One?
Four.
See? 4 days without water, you won't survive. See, so whether it's a stream or fountain of rivers or rain, whatever is the symbolism, or the true fact is the Bible about where water comes from, we found out that when you said water, you said something that's so important to those people. Because they realize that water, it means life. Life or death. That it cannot go on. That there's a thirst that can be quenched. Their children could not survive without water. They could have the possibility of settling or settlement and growth and fruit and the trees and plants and fruit based on only in one thing and one thing alone. It's water. No water, what will happen? You will die. Right? People die. And people got lost out there in the desert, especially in Sinai. You make a wrong turn in Sinai desert, you're dead. Whether you're driving a car or you're walking, you make a wrong turn, you're dead. Amen? See, one of the greatest civilizations, if not greatest, of ancient history was found that in one thing, the Nile River. That's their life, their lifeline. And everything was built in Nile River. Why? Because Nile River meant water in them. And there's drought and the Nile went down. Those people began to pray to their gods. Because no water, it means no life. They are going to die. You need to have water to live. You have to be near the water. Everything was based on water. Now God takes this object, this word water, this element of life, and He uses it as a symbol of the Bible for His, anybody? For His Spirit. God takes water and says, that will be one of the symbols of My Spirit, because My Spirit is a life giver. Without My Spirit, there is no real life. Amen? There might be physical life because water and food and clothing, but when God says, I will choose water as a symbol of My Spirit, because they will strike the people's mind and hearts in an appropriate way so that they will understand the importance of My Spirit. Amen? Because without My Spirit, which is the water, spiritual water, you cannot live. How many believe that? Without the water, without the spiritual water, you cannot live. You cannot have the spiritual life. There will be no joy. There will be no peace, and there will be dryness in our soul. There's parts, there's dryness of the inner person that will never satisfy until you taste the water of His Spirit. So God identifies Himself as the one who pours out water. He says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. See, if you're not thirsty, God will not pour out water on you. So God identifies Himself as the one who pours out water. No matter how physically healthy your body is, no matter what the material framing is of your life, no matter what kind of apartment or house you go back today, if there is no water, you will die. We know according to the Word of God that unless you are tasting and drinking and experiencing the Spirit of God, which is the water of life, you're not really living. And that is why you see people who are wealthy, educated, and supposed to be prosperous, living such a self-destructive life. Because they are searching and they are miserable, so empty, because they are finding out that there's a dryness of spirit. The soul, that dryness inside, can never be satisfied. something physical. A lot of people that are, they are wealthy, but there is no dryness. There is no really joy of living. Do you know that God wants us to be joyful? Amen? But you cannot be joyful without that spirit, without that water inside of you. Amen? That we are you. And the spirit that is inside of you, your heart cannot be satisfied. God said, except by water. But a different kind of water. The water of life. The water of his spirit. And that is why even believers go through times where they have to cry out. To cry out to the Lord. Let's see that Psalm 63 verse 1. It says, O God, you are my God, earnestly, I seek you. My soul, what? Thirst for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And David says, God, probably there is a double meaning. He was being chased by King Saul. And he was living in some caves out in the desert. So that's probably was lacking of physical water too. But it has a double meaning. Notice it says, my soul cries out. So there's a dryness inside of him. And at the same time, there's a dryness. There's thirsty for a water. So there's a double meaning in there. In other words, God can only, that I need physical water to keep me alive because this king is so jealous of me. King Saul is jealous of me. So he's trying to chase me down to kill me. But oh God, my soul thirsts for you. So there's two meanings in there. I am empty inside. Something is missing. I need water that comes from you. For my soul and my spirit thirst for you. And this is why Christians go through uncomfortable time inside and bring it from their upbringing, their mother or their father or their mother-in-law. But, oh God, my soul thirsts for you. And they did not realize that this and needing was a big drink of God's water. And I believe this is a reminder for all of us. Because I believe we talk about this so many times. About the water, about the Holy Spirit. That we cannot live without the Holy Spirit. Amen? You are dry and you are dry inside. Do you think anything can satisfy you? Do you think a husband can satisfy you? Do you think a boyfriend or a girlfriend could satisfy you? But there's nobody. Because you're wanting inside of us, and nobody can get in there except the water of life. God identified himself in the Old Testament, as we have seen here, in two places, as the water pourer or the water giver. He gives life, in other words. We have to be run over. The promise was that we have so much flowing in us that we will run out to other people. And that's what God wants us. That should be. We are full of water. That it's running out from us. That it will reach the dryness. The people that have dryness in their soul. Amen. And now Isaiah says that. God says that the poor and the needy thirst. But I will make river flow. On the barren heights. Notice it says, there's a river flow of barren heights. Water flows in a dry valley. A desert will turn into a pool of water. Parched ground will turn into spring, God says. And nobody can do that in the middle of the desert. Only God can bring you, can satisfy your soul. So what God is saying here is that my people will have the miracle of being empty and dry and lacking of water and being difficult circumstances. They are going to feel like they are in the desert. And there is no way they are going to get out. They don't know where to turn, and yet they look to me. And even though they are like a dry and wilderness, even the thoughts, they are like a desert. I will send rivers of living water into them, and the areas that was desert will become pools of water. And I will do it, and my people will be full of joy and peace. And I will do it, and I will get the glory, because I will pour water on the dry grounds. So in essence, God is saying, you know, there's a dryness in the life of my people, but I'm going to do this. I'm gonna put a cedar. I'm going to put a rivers of a pools of water. What's the purpose of doing that? Because he will get the glory. Amen? To that, he says, my people will be full of joy, and I will do it so that the glory, I will get all the glory, and I will pour water on the dry grounds. Amen? And sometimes we ask God, why are you allowing this situation? Why are you allowing this dryness in my life? Why are you allowing this accident to happen in my life? Do you know why? So that he will get the glory. Amen? Do not kind of have that mind. Sometimes we say, what kind of God is that he will allow situations to happen in their life so that he will get the glory? God allows it to happen. Amen? So that we may recognize that him alone can save us. Amen? In other words, if you are dry today, God invites you and says, bring me to your dry life. Bring me to your empty life. That the more you have fun, the drier you feel. The more you try every sin known to mankind, every time you try a new idol other than God, the harder you try, the drier you feel inside. Amen? We know that feeling, don't we? If you haven't experienced the dryness in your life, you will experience that. Every one of us will experience all of those things, the dryness in our life. Amen? What is the analogy of that? The analogy is that your most difficult moment, when you have every reason to give up, God says, don't give up. Turn to me, because I will pour water on a dry ground. And you, not only that you are going to make it, but there's going to be fruit coming up in your life that others can eat from and be blessed. See, we talk about the reason why there's the eschatology last Friday. The end times. Why does God prolong? See, the Bible says that God prolong, because of the righteous, he will prolong his coming back. Why does God allow that? What's the analogy of that? Why does God prolong for the sake of the righteous? He said that I'm going to prolong my coming. I'm going to prolong the days. Why does God do that? So that we have the opportunity to share more about the good news of his son Jesus Christ to those who have not received the Lord. Amen? Now the Old Testament uses oil. He uses water. He uses fires, symbols of God's Spirit. But I never goes much farther than God's Spirit being an agent or energy. An agent, something God uses, and the energy from God. It's really not until the New Testament that we really learn about who is not what is, but who is the Holy Spirit. And we found out that Jesus said in John 7:37, listen to this, in John 7:37, it says, if anyone is thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he says, whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, streams of living water will flow from within. But this he meant the Spirit. Notice the complicated verse. Whom those who believe in him were later to receive, up up to that time, the Spirit has not been given since Jesus has not been glorified. See, this is a complicated verse, because he said that I will give him the Spirit, but the Spirit has not been given because he was not being glorified, right? You know, this is just a revelation to me this morning. And said, because there's a lot of people who said, you know what? The Spirit, when Jesus Christ came here, it's the same thing. The Spirit is here. Because it's the Spirit that tells us, that can convict us, that we are all sinners, right? So if the Spirit is already here, why is it that he said, the Spirit was not given because he has not been glorified? Is it not complicating? Right? Because we believe that the Holy Spirit is here. He convicts the sin of the people. And that's why people turn to Jesus Christ. But then now Jesus Christ is saying that the Spirit will come. He will not come because he was not glorified. Right? Have you ever asked yourself for that? How can it be when the Holy Spirit is here and now the Spirit has not given because he was not glorified? Because the reason why the Spirit has not been glorified, the Spirit has not been in us, because he was not being glorified. He was not risen from the dead. Right? When he was risen from the dead, because he paid for our sin. How many believes that? He paid for our sin. And he was buried and raised from the dead. The Spirit was not given to live within us, because our sin has just been paid for with the blood of the Lamb. When he died on the cross, he was buried, and then when he resurrected, that's where you and I, the sin that we have, was paid for. Because he could not send the Spirit to us to live within us when we are still sinners. When we are still, our body is not, how can the Holy Spirit live within us when we are still sinners, when he was not being glorified yet? He was not risen from the dead. Right? Amen? When he was risen from the dead, he was glorified. Now, our sin has been paid for. Now, we are righteous. Now, we are clean in the eyes of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, he can send the Holy Spirit to live within us. So, there's two transactions. The Spirit that convicts us for our sin, and the Spirit that Jesus Christ sent to us because he was glorified already. So now the Holy Spirit could live within us. See, I've been reading this verse every now and then, but the pastor will only say, you know what? Because Jesus Christ was not been glorified. So what? But the Spirit, I got saved. So why? So now I know, because when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was buried, and then he was resurrected, because once he was glorified, then now we are declared righteous. Now we are clean. So now he can send the Holy Spirit to live within us. Amen? Are you with me? It says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And it says, whoever believes in me, the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within. By this means, the Spirit has not been given. Because Jesus Christ has not been glorified. So we just look at that moment. Jesus said, I know that your real need is, if anybody is thirsty, let him come to me. I will give him not only water to drink, but inside of him there will be streams of flowing water. You will get a little drink. You will have a river flowing inside of you if you come to me. Amen. So now that Christ is glorified. But only I need the cleansing, I need the power to live every day. How many believes that? Not only that I need the cleansing in my body, in my spirit, but I also need the power to live every day. Amen? How many find that it takes power to live for God? It takes power. Again, I'm not saying the kili-kili power, but it's the power of God. Amen? So Jesus is saying, everyone who is thirsty, let him come to me. And talk about what will happen, there will be rivers of living water from within. See, because God doesn't want us to just consume that river, for that water for us, but he wants us to overflow so that others could experience what you experience, so that you can share to other people what God has done in your life. Amen. Don't just keep quiet. Share what God has done in your life. Amen. Let the water flow. Right, Brother Wayne? You let the water flow. And this is the whole reason why he shed his blood, to prepare a people who will become the temple of God. But who dwell in the temple? The power of the Holy Spirit. And that is our body supposed to be. Temples with the living God, living inside and moving inside of us. These rivers flowing out so that people could see what's so different about you. And the river could not only satisfy us and bring us peace, but when we are on our job, there will be overflow so that people can be ministered by these rivers of living water. And that's what God wants us to do. Now the Bible says that true Christianity, please listen to this. True Christianity, if you forget everything I said today, take this home with you. True Christianity is not you doing anything for God. It's not you being a good little boy or little girl for God. True Christianity is not anything we do for God. But the genius of Christianity is receiving what God has for us. And that's what we think. We think that we have the power to evangelize and get save people. That people will save. But you know what? God just wants you to be who you are for God. Amen? And let that water, allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. Amen? Because Jesus said, everyone who is thirsty, come to me. And fill the water. If you are thirsty, come to me, he says. Just open up and I will flood your life and you will live different. And as God said, do you think I sent my son to die on the cross because you could do anything? You are helpless. But come to me and I will give you rivers of living water from God. Amen? Think of all people who are meeting today in churches. And they are going to have 55 to 60 minute sermon to minister, to preach the same passage that I'm preaching, and they don't go home and the same emptiness. They are going to sin the same sin this week. Because they are caught on the trap. Why? Because there is no power. The Holy Spirit. Because only the Spirit of the living God can set you free. It's only the Spirit of the Lord is that there is a liberty, there is freedom to be with what God wants you to be. Because you have to drink those rivers of living water. You've got to have a flow in your life. Amen? I tell you what, when the flow dies down in your life, I am the most miserable person in the face of the planet. I punch my wife when I'm sleeping. And do you know what? Think about this, Glona. I punch my wife, but I'm the one ended up in the floor. Tell me about that. How can it be? Without the power of God, I punch my wife, I am the one ended up in the floor. So I had to go back to the fountain of life. Amen? See, there is a true definition of true Christianity. The whole thing rests in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you believe it or not. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I've been sharing this with you ever since from we start from the church 18 years ago. It's the power. Be dependent on the power of God, the Holy Spirit that is in you. Two different transactions. Amen? How much we are like Christ, your name will bring you back to one thing, power of the Holy Spirit. Only the Spirit can give life. The Spirit means life. No Spirit, it means no life. No water means no life. You cannot live without water. Right? That's what the need of a believer today. They are switching churches. They are going here, going there. They are thinking of pastor, so-and-so is the answer. I only learn a little bit more that when you really need a big drink of water of life. You heard that? They said, no, I could not understand that pastor over there, that Filipino pastor. But you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? Because He is the revealer of truth. And this is the water. Water is not a force. It's a person. Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. You know Him. For He lives with you and will be in you. Amen? See, my desire, and so Sister Rose's desire and Irvin's desire is to point you where the water comes from. And my desire, my prayer is that you will know where the presence of God is. I cannot take you there. I cannot take you where He is. It's only Jesus Christ. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ can take you to that place. See, my desire is every day you will go to that place. Amen. Before we close, Regine, could you allow me to sing with the help of the YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think, Herb, you can play that, Herb? The Bible says that draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. If you don't go to that holy of holies. You know what? I missed my opportunity for you to experience the presence of God. Amen. And that's really my desire to all of us. Because once you experience the Holy of Holies place, because that's where He reigns, man, your life will not be the same. That rivers of living water will continue to overflow inside of you. Amen. And that's my desire to all of us, is that I'm gonna visit. See, before, it's only one person that can get in there. What's that, Sister Rose? Only the high priest. Once a year. And now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He gave us that opportunity to come. He says, God wants us to draw nigh to Him. And that's the desire that I have to all of us. Amen? And that's maybe the reason why there's an empty place, because we have not visited the Holy of Holies. Because once we visited that, once we experienced the presence of God, you know what? The Holy Spirit, it just overflow that rivers of waters in our life. Amen? I hope that's the desire of your heart, is to get in to the Holy of Holies. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your presence, Lord God. What a wonderful time that we have this morning. Just to come to you, Lord, and worship you and glorify you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us into your Holy of Holies, Lord. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that we may be worthy of getting into your place. Before, there's nobody can get in close to you, only the high priest, Lord. But Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, that you give us this opportunity to come to you, the Holy of Holies, Lord, through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that died for us. And Lord, we thank you today. Thank you that we could come, Lord. We don't have to force ourselves, but you inviting us to come to you, to draw near to you, Lord. And Father, if there's anybody here this morning that have not experienced your presence, Lord, we pray that you will speak to them, that your blood is the only way to heaven, Lord Jesus. Speak to them, Lord Jesus. That's only your presence could provide the joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Do not allow us, Lord, to go home the same again, but a different person, Lord. And Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that give us life. Life abundantly. And Father, we thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity to bring our tithes to you, Lord. That your house, the need of your house, Lord, that every needs, Lord, will be met, Lord God. And thank you, Lord. Thank you today, in Jesus' name.